Amen.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 10. Rather to verse 8. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Now my Old Testament professor in Scotland wrote a very good commentary on this book, and he notes that Jeremiah really is two beginnings. It is a book with two starts. He says that in effect there are two introductions to this book. In verses 1 to 3, which we looked at last week, we have what could be called a literary introduction. It is an almost an impersonal introduction to the book. It's a statement of facts about the book. This book will be a recording of the words of Jeremiah. This is a largely autobiographical work. And Jeremiah ministered, we are told, in this historic period, from the reign of Josiah all the way through to the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. And so the author of this book, whether it be Jeremiah himself or perhaps Baruch his scribe, takes time at the beginning simply to set this whole book in context. He wants to show us clearly what this book is about and when it is coming. However, there is a second introduction to the book that we see from verses 4 through 8, a record of the way in which Jeremiah entered on his prophetic ministry. And so if we see verses 1 to 3 as a somewhat impersonal introduction, we now have a very personal introduction where Jeremiah gives a personal account of how he was called to this ministry. And we're told very plainly in verse 4, "Now the word of the Lord came to me." This was not a calling of Jeremiah's own idea. This was not something that came to him. This wasn't something that came out of his pity as he looked at his surrounding nations. Rather, we're told plainly this all started, this whole book, this whole ministry started when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And if we read these words in light of verses we'll come to in just a minute, it seems that this word came to him in his youth. That is, after all, his great objection in verse 6. And as we mentioned last week, that can cover anything throughout those teenage years. We know that as the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, he was still a youth. He was not a free-flying, independent adult. He was still largely under the tutelage of his parents. And we saw that this term can mean someone as young as 12, and probably Jeremiah was as young as that when the word of the Lord came to him. And so we see in these very simple words, the words in effect of a master coming to his servant, the words of a master coming to his slave. Here is in effect a boy being called by the Lord to this ministry. And this simple phrase of verse 4 serves to place this whole book in context. We've seen the historical context in verses 1 to 3, but now we are given a bigger context. These words in verse 4 simply remind us about what this book is all about. What we will read over these next weeks and months and years is not an account of one man's concern for a nation. Rather, what we read is one God's concern for this nation. We don't read the story of one man's quest to restore Judah, but rather we read of one God's quest to restore Judah. This whole book starts not with the idea of Jeremiah, but with the word of God that comes to him and calls him. And Jeremiah was called to be, as we see in verse 5, a prophet to the nations. This word of the Lord that came to him was none other than a call from the Lord to serve him as his mouthpiece amongst Judah, amongst the nations. He was to stand not as a priest, as we perhaps would have expected, knowing that Jeremiah came from the town of Anathoth, so full of rich priestly history. But Jeremiah was not called to stand as a priest, but rather as a prophet. He was to live his life as the mouthpiece of God, declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." And it was a ministry that had a very wide scope. Primarily, he would minister in the midst of Judah. His primary task was to go to the errant people of God and call them to repentance time and again, to tell them of the judgment of God for their sins. But we see here that it wasn't restricted simply to Judah. He was called to be a prophet to the nations plural. And we'll see that as we go through this study. Chapters 46 to 51 are concerned wholly with the word of God to nations other than Judah, to foreign nations, nations that were strangers to the covenant. In these verses, we'll hear the word of the Lord come through Jeremiah to Egypt, to Philistia, to Moab, to Babylon, and to the many nations of chapter 49. You see, Jeremiah was called by the King of Kings, the one who rules over all nations, to go and declare the word of God to all nations. There was no limit. There is no limit to the sovereignty of God, and so there was no limit to the ministry of his servant. And in this simple statement, we have a correction again to our temptation to view the grace of God for the nations as a New Testament idea. It is a corrective again that comes to us from our Old Testaments, when we are prone to think that this idea of mission to the farthest ends of the world is a uniquely New Testament idea. But like we saw in Jonah, it is something that is very present in the prophets, and again we see it in Jeremiah, just as it's present in our other books of the Old Testament. The mercy of God was to go as far as the curse was found, wherever there were sinners, so the gospel was to be preached. And so Jeremiah was called as a prophet of God to herald the judgment of God against the sins of Judah, but also against the sins of the nations. He was to go and to cry of the justice of the holy God, but with that, to give the invitation to repentance. If you repent, the Lord will relent of the disaster which he is bringing. This is a wonderful promise. And when we look at these words, our hearts must delight, because we know what's going to come in this book, of just how far Judah will descend. We rejoice that the Lord has anointed his own chosen man, a prophet of his own choosing, to stand as his herald. The Lord, out of his grace, is not going to forsake Judah, not going to forsake these nations. but rather he is going to send his man to cry out to these nations, repent and return to the Lord. But as wonderful as this appointment is, we are astonished at when this appointment was made, for we read that it was an appointment that came long before Jeremiah was born. We can imagine that Jeremiah returned to these words time and again throughout his ministry. We have to ask ourselves what kept this man going when he was threatened for his life, when he was imprisoned, when he was mocked, when he was ridiculed. What kept him going? What stopped him just throwing in the towel, giving it all in, packing it all in, and going somewhere else? What kept this man going? It had to be these words that the Lord had called him to this ministry, and the Lord had set him apart for this ministry since before he was born. For the Lord says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. He says, look, Jeremiah, I have known you from all time. I haven't waited to see the strength of your character. I haven't waited to see the strength of your resolve. I chose you from before you were born, even before you were even formed in the womb. I chose you. I decreed that this man, Jeremiah, will be my mouthpiece. He will be my prophet amongst the nations. We can imagine that as Jeremiah languished in prison, as he was faced ridicule and threats, as he was taken by force to Egypt, these words must have rung loud in his heart. I am here by the Lord's choosing. I am in prison by the Lord's choosing. I am kidnapped by the Lord's choosing because he chose me to be his man and to cry out against this sin. This was no accident. This was no job that he had applied for. This was truly the Master decreeing that Jeremiah would be his chosen man. But as this call comes to Jeremiah, we quickly read in verse 6 of Jeremiah's objection to this. His initial reaction to this calling was not one of enthusiasm. Now, no doubt there are many who would have relished this calling. Some who would say, sure, I'll go and tell people what to do. You tell me what to say, and I'll be more than happy to tell them how they're wrong and to tell them of all that they are doing wrong. There are those who relish the limelight and who would no doubt delight to stand in the midst of Judah and tell them of how they are wrong. But Jeremiah's reaction is not one of enthusiasm. This is not a man who initially delights in this calling that has come upon him, but rather he calls out with this cry of despair, "Ah, Lord, God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." In essence, Lord, you have the wrong man. I am not the man you want. I don't know how to speak. Look at me. I'm only a youth. No one listens to me. I am not the man that you want. You see, Jeremiah's reaction to this was not a reaction of disobedience, but it was a reaction that simply echoed that of other great men. As you read this, perhaps your minds went back to Moses, who, when he was called by the Lord, said, "Oh, my Lord," and the same exclamation as Jeremiah practically, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue." Moses came and said, "Lord, you have the wrong man. I am not eloquent. I am not the preacher that you need. I am not the public speaker. I am no orator." And Isaiah would say, when the Lord called him, "Woe is me, for I am lost, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah said, I am undone. I cannot have this calling. I cannot be brought so near to God. But you see, all these cries, just like Jeremiah's cries, are not cries of disobedience, but cries of intense humility. These are men who realized the gravity of this calling, the weight of what they were being called to do, and it brought them to their knees and said, Lord, I am not good enough for this calling. I am not good enough. And as Moses cried, Lord, I am not an eloquent man. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. As Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. So Jeremiah said, I do not know how to speak. He realized that his whole ministry was to be one of speech. He couldn't do it. He said, I am but a youth. No one will take me seriously. And there's no doubt that public meetings in Anathoth would be no different from other assemblies or councils at that time. No different from our public assemblies and councils. Children simply aren't allowed to speak. If Clyde was in a commissioner's meeting and in marches a 12-year-old to give his counsel to that meeting, he would be ushered out of the room in quick order, I'm sure. Jeremiah would have never had opportunity to speak in public. He may have attended public assemblies and public meetings, but only ever as a hearer. He was a youth. He didn't know how to speak. He was utterly inexperienced. He had never done this kind of thing before. And even if he had been given a hearing, he would have been laughed down for his inexperience. This is a boy. What will this child say to us? He would have known enough about how public meetings worked that he would have not been naive about who got to speak and who was listened to. Who was going to listen to a child? What did he know? He had not yet earned his right to speak. How could he stand and declare the word of the Lord in the midst of Judah? How could he be a prophet in the midst of the people of God? Surely, if the Lord wanted Judah to heed his word and heed his call, he would call someone that they would listen to, right? He wouldn't listen to this boy. And in many ways, Jeremiah is right in his objection. There aren't many pastoral search committees that would be impressed by his resume. There aren't many who would think that this is the man that we want. However, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah again, and we read, the Lord said to me, do not say that I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. The Lord comes to Jeremiah with gentleness and patience. There's no word of rebuke to our prophet for this word of doubt, but rather the gentle word of a father comes to him. And know, first of all, that God does not dispute the accuracy of anything that Jeremiah has said. He doesn't say, oh, Jeremiah, you might be a youth, but you are mature beyond your years. You carry yourself like a 40-year-old, not a 14-year-old. He doesn't say to him, oh, Jeremiah, you're being overly humble about your ability to speak. You are the best 12-year-old orator I have ever heard. The Lord does nothing to correct Jeremiah's objections. But the Lord comes and he shows them how these are irrelevant. He says, do not say that I am only a youth. His youth and inexperience was undeniable. But the Lord says, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. The Lord says to him, you are indeed a youth, but don't pin your ministry on your age. He says, it does not matter, because your ministry will not rest on you. He says right at the beginning, Jeremiah, don't say I'm only a youth, because it's not about you. What you are called to do has no bearing on who you are or what you want to say. Your ministry will not rest on social norms. It will not rest on your abilities. It will rest on what I, the Lord, am doing. And so Jeremiah is to go in all the weakness of his flesh, in all the weakness of his inexperience, to the very people that God sends him. And when he goes to them, he will speak what the Lord commands him. So we see that Jeremiah's fears are rooted in his self-awareness, but right at the beginning of his ministry, the Lord realigns his sight and recalibrates his heart and says, don't be afraid of them, for I am with you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you. Do not worry about what to speak. I will tell you what to speak. Do not be concerned about where to go, because I will tell you where to go. Jeremiah, you are not stepping out on this in your own strength. I, the Lord, who have called you, am going before you and going with you. There is a lot about you, Jeremiah, that should cause you to fret and worry. But there is everything about me that should cause your heart to be still and unafraid. Now, why, we must ask ourselves, is this personal call of Jeremiah important? Well, I think it's important because it roots this whole book about judgment in the love of God. This is a book that is not going to be about Jeremiah, though it bears his name. It is going to be a book about God. You've heard some people say, I'm sure, that the book of Acts should not be called the Acts of the Apostles. It should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And in a sense, the book of Jeremiah should not be called the book of Jeremiah. It should be called the book of the Lord as he worked through his servant Jeremiah. You see, throughout this passage, with Jeremiah's objections, we see his temptation to look to himself, but we see in the Lord's response this correction. This is not going to be about Jeremiah. The man Jeremiah is going to fade into the background. This is a book that is going to be about the work of the Lord. It is not going to be about the eloquence or wisdom of Jeremiah. It's going to be about the word of the Lord as it comes to his errant people. This personal call in verses 4 through 8 root this book in the love of God. And so we are shown immediately that though we will be taken through harsh sections of judgment, it is all done coming from a loving God pleading with his people, as it were, to return to him. And we could even see in the calling of the man Jeremiah this purpose at work. The Lord undoubtedly chose an unheroic man. If he is in his early teens, we could imagine that Jeremiah was at this point rather gangly and out of proportion. A boy whose voice was possibly still breaking. But the Lord chose such an unheroic man so that in contrast, he would be the hero of the story. By choosing such a weak prophet, God shows clearly that the power of Jeremiah's ministry is not in him, but in God. And so we see that this whole book is a book about the passionate love of God for his people. And so in that sense, this is a book that is about Easter. This is a book that will not find its completion until the Easter morning. This is a book about the love of God for sinners, and so it does not find fulfillment until the ultimate prophet would come. The ultimate Jeremiah, who would come and not just herald the judgment of God, but who would bear the judgment of God. Who would not just declare restoration, but who would pay the price of sin so that all things might be restored. Who would rise from the grave on the Easter morning as the first fruits of that restoration. This is a book undoubtedly about judgment and restoration. But in the midst of it, we see that it is driven by a love of God calling again and again and again and again for sinners to humble themselves before the Lord. And we see this book come to fulfillment in the ministry and work of Christ, who bore the judgment in order to bring restoration. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this call of Jeremiah, and we thank you for how it reminds us that you are the one who is at work to build his church. Forgive us for when we have been like Jeremiah, and we have thought that the building of the church rested on us and on our strengths and on our abilities and on our eloquence. But you remind us in this call that you are the one who is building his church. You are the one who is speaking through his word. You are the one who is warning of your own judgment. You are the one who is declaring the restoration that you will bring as Christ bore the judgment of God for sin on Calvary's cross. Our Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us as we continue our study in this book, and that you would glorify yourself in our midst during it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.